You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Yo, Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us this week on Thursday after the game to get in on the action. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Themes. And here, rolling solo dolo once again. Jeff is still on vacation. The rain delay. We had a chance to maybe record together, at least do a split episode, but the rain delay took that away from us. So I'm here solo. Dodgers won. Like I mentioned, rain delay. The Dodgers won 5-0. Max Scherzer's second start as a Dodger got cut off, but the Dodgers bullpen was able to hold it down. Going to get into a little bit about the game, a little bit about update on Mookie Betts and Justin Turner, and just some more general Dodger talk, seeing where the show takes me. So before all that, a quick reminder to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so like I mentioned, Dodgers won 5-0. There was a rain delay. Fourth inning, it just started pouring when Max Scherzer was on the mound. They had to hurry up and get everyone off, hurry up and get the tarp out there, and it rained, I'm assuming, for a while. Almost a two-hour delay, I believe, and then the Dodgers were able to go back on the field. At that point, it was too long for Scherzer to come back. Alex Vesia came in. I'll just start with Scherzer. Scherzer was looking good, was through 3 1/3, had 6 strikeouts, had given up 3 hits, but was able to work around it, and appeared to be on his way to another dominant performance as a Dodger. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. Fortunately for the Dodgers, it kind of did happen because they were getting dominated by Aaron Nola. He had 7 strikeouts through the first 4 innings and only allowed 1 hit. He did not come back out after the rain delay. The Dodgers scored right away off the first guy, Hammer. Corey Seager crushed a home run to left center. And then they got 3 in the next inning off Moore and then got 1 later in the game. So the Dodgers bullpen pitched much better than the Phillies bullpen. You know, the Phillies bullpen has been an issue this season. And kind of how I mentioned yesterday, the Phillies came in winning 8 in a row. But they hadn't beat anyone, you know, too legitimate. They had beat up on some lower teams and then beat up on a Mets team that had been struggling. So this was going to be a good matchup overall. The Nola-Scherzer matchup, the Dodgers should have won that matchup, but Nola looked really good. The curveball was working. He had the Dodgers swinging and missing a lot. But fortunately for the Dodgers, I guess the rain helped them out. The one way the rain might not help them out is on Thursday when the Dodgers will have a bullpen game. They had to use 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pitchers on Tuesday, besides Scherzer, Vesia, Knebel, Brewer, Gratterall, Trinan, and you pick up Connor Green. Although Green, I'm not sure how long he's going to last or you know how the Dodgers are going to do it. Dave Roberts said that Mitch White was going to start the bullpen game on Thursday, or maybe not start, but would be the bulk innings guy. So they will have to bring him back, and we'll see how they maneuver, what maneuvers they do. Quackenbush survived the first day, so he still... You know, maybe they use him for sure tomorrow, and then he gets the axe on Thursday. I don't know. I'm just assuming that's going to be the next guy out. Let's talk about Alex Vesia real quick. We've talked about him a little bit in the past. He's done really well since coming back from OKC after being sent down earlier in the year. He was dominating at OKC, made his way back to the majors, and honestly has been lights out for the Dodgers since coming back. He has... learned how to throw strikes, or at least figured out how to throw strikes more consistently, which was his issue the first time he came up. And since coming back up on July 9th, he's gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 outings with only giving up 1 run in those 11 outings, having not only walked 2 guys in those 11 outings and racking up around 15 strikeouts in about... 12.2 innings. So he's a guy that not to use the word guy too much, but he's becoming a guy for the Dodgers and has gotten his ERA down from 5.91 all the way down to 3.09 if you want to play on the ERA game, and has gotten his whip from 1.41 down to 0.94. So he's becoming a left-handed threat out of the Dodgers bullpen, which is a good sign. The Dodgers did need one to emerge because of the struggles of Victor Gonzalez, because of Scott Alexander not being able to stay healthy, and just because of them not really having another lefty out of the pen. So if he can continue this, keep throwing strikes, keep working on everything else that he's been doing, the Dodgers may have a guy that they can use at least in October, in case Danny Duffy doesn't come back from injury, in case Clayton Kershaw doesn't come back and David Price has to stay in the rotation, or Julio has to stay in the rotation, whatever the case may be. So, you know, shout out Alex Vesia. He had 8 whiffs over his 1 2/3 innings, the same amount as Scherzer had in 3 1/3 innings. So that's a good sign. Corey Kniebel, the other one I want to talk about, making his first appearance. He was activated from the injured list earlier in the day. Joe Kelly went on the injured list with no injury designation. So I'm not sure if it's just getting him some rest. We know he had tweaked his hamstring a couple weeks ago, but he's been pitching it since then. But maybe it's still bothering him. I'm not entirely sure. But at least it'll get him off his, get his arm some rest for the next 10 days. Maybe that's more so what the Dodgers want. They feel like they can get by these next 10 days without Joseph Kelly. But in terms of Kniebel, he looked really good. He touched almost, he touched 97.6. Fastest pitch thrown. He did allow the first two runners to reach base. He got into a full count. The first batter ended up walking him. He allowed an infield single, one that Taylor maybe could have got at third base, but didn't end up happening. Then he struck out Bryce Harper. He struck out JT Realmuto. And then Dave Roberts came and got him just because of pitch count. But the fastball looked good. The curveball looked good at times. He was having a little bit of issues gripping it. Not sure if that was because of the, you know, rain and the bad weather, or just an issue with him. You know, he went down before the sticky stuff was really getting checked on, I believe. So maybe it's still an adjustment there. But good sign that he looked good and that, you know, he didn't implode 100%. And he struck out a hot hitter in Bryce Harper, who has climbed MVP rankings, like I mentioned on yesterday's show, and JT Realmuto, who was an all-star, albeit probably not should have been an all-star, but an all-star nonetheless. So a good sign for him. Justin Brewer looked good again. One inning, had a strikeout, and then Bruiser Gratterall got one out. Blake Trinan handled his eighth inning solidly, and then the Dodgers had Kenley Jansen warming up. Max Muncy hit a home run in the top of the ninth, and then they ended up sending out Connor Green to finish out the game, and he did so just allowing one hit. So even though they had to use a lot of guys, they, you know, Trinan only threw one inning, Gratterall only pitched to one batter, got a strikeout. Kniebel, even though he threw about 20-some pitches, you know, didn't throw too much. And, you know, all these guys can maybe not pitch tomorrow, but at least pitch on Thursday when they need him in the bullpen game. They will need David Price to give him a little bit of length. But, hey, he's done that two of the last four times he's been out there, gone into the sixth inning. So if he can do that again, that would be ideal for the Dodgers. Going to come back and give some more injury updates and just some other positional updates. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app's free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, talk with us, talk with other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. We host a room on Green Room every single week, and this week it will be on Thursday after the Dodgers' early game in Philadelphia, so make sure to download the app before then. Green Room's a perfect place to start or join conversations about the Dodgers, about MLB, about anything you really want to talk about in the sports world. You have a chance to chat with us every week or just chat with other fans or people that you may know. So go download the free Green Room app right now, currently available on all iOS devices. Create a profile, link your Twitter, join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Vincent91 or follow Jeff at Snydog to see when our rooms go live, and don't miss it. See you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, I am back and here with some injury updates. So it appears that Mookie Betts will go back on the injured list. His hip is still bothering him. He was in the starting lineup originally, and then about an hour or so later, the Dodgers took him out of the starting lineup, scratched him. Billy McKinney ended up playing right field, And Mookie Betts, Dave Roberts said that he's probably going to go on the injured list, or he might have to call someone back up and get him on the taxi squad. Just, I would imagine if he wakes up and feels better, he might try to stay on the roster. If not, they're going to get someone. Not sure if it'll be Zach Rex, Luke Grayley, or, you know, I don't think they're going to bring up Gavin Lux yet. Gavin Lux, speaking of Gavin Lux, he did play in his first game with OKC in his rehab assignment and played third base. And with Justin Turner's groin, that bothered him. He'll probably be at least out for this series for sure, and they'll continue to monitor him. But they wanted to get Gavin Lux some work at third base in case it becomes a bigger injury than what it is, and they need someone to, you know, be able to come in and play third base occasionally. Chris Taylor played third base on Tuesday and will probably get more reps there, or at least play there the rest of this series, depending how things go. So, yeah, Gavin Lux had a hit and an RBI over there in OKC, and not sure if he got anything defensively at third base, but I'm assuming he's going to stay down there, so it's probably Luke Grayley or Zach Rex we're going to see come back up if Mookie goes on the injured list. Maybe Yoshi Tsutsugo? I don't know. He's been doing very well down there. Just hit his 10th home run with OKC the other night and has honestly looked a little bit better and has maybe made some strides. But, you know, we haven't heard too much about him or from him in regards to if the Dodgers plan to bring him back up. So not sure if that'll be the move, but we'll see what happens. Like I said, Turner will be out for the next couple days. Mookie might be out for a while. The good news on that end is we'll continue to talk about Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger had another hit and I believe now has a hitting streak of 7 games. So that's been a welcome sign for the Dodgers and for the Dodgers offense. In his last 7 games, he's hitting .320 with a .640 slugging percentage, 8 hits in his last 25 at-bats. That's a good sign. Only 5 strikeouts in those 25 at-bats as well. So while I don't want to say Cody's turned a corner, he is turning the corner, or in the process of turning that corner. And that would be big for the Dodgers. They have some guys that, you know, Mookie being out, Turner maybe being out. They have a need for now Bellinger back in lineup. He was going to only start against right-handed pitchers, and that still might be the case if none of these guys go on the injured list. But if they do, then Cody's going to be in there against everyone again. And honestly, you know, just looking at the last play of the game, nice sliding catch for Cody Bellinger finishing out the game. That defense is still very, very good and still very valuable to the Dodgers. So if he can just supplement that with what he's been doing the last 7 games, the Dodgers will be in a good spot, at least in the outfield. AJ Pollock continued his tear, had a 2-run single, and just continues to be, you know, a big, big, big part of the Dodgers offense in recent weeks. And honestly, since July started and throughout the whole year, his numbers for the whole year look really good. And we've praised him and talked about him, but I mean, let's just look at his numbers real quick right now and give him a little bit more praise. AJ Pollock, maybe we need to slander him a little bit more, but it's very hard to do so. I mean, he's hitting .309 with an .895 OPS, 14 home runs, 46 RBIs, 38 runs scored in 282 at bats. In his last 7 games, he's hitting .444. In his last 15 games, he's hitting .431. In his last 30 games, he's hitting .391. So this isn't just some hot streak. That's 110 at bats of .391 ball with an OPS over 1,000. So he is he's been one of the Dodgers' best players. And it's funny, I was talking to my brother during the game, and, you know, Bryce Harper has really got some big MVP love, at least in the betting odds in the recent weeks. And, you know, rightfully so, he's playing pretty well, but he's hitting .299 with a .976 OPS, 20 home runs, 45 RBIs, 12 stolen bases, and 324 at bats. Yeah, his OPS is much higher than AJ Pollock's. 14 and 46, 20 and 45, not that much difference there. Pollock has a little bit higher average, in about 40 less at bats and, you know, less runs scored and everything else, but that's not really his case. But just funny, you know, AJ Pollock's having a very underrated season, and maybe we shouldn't talk about him too much in case he starts going down. But, you know, the amount of we talk about AJ Pollock is not going to make or break his season, but hey, that's how it is. One guy I wanted to talk about before he hit a home run in the 9th inning was Max Muncy. He's a guy who is not necessarily struggling, but it appeared to be he was struggling just because he hadn't been as great as he had before. And then you look at his numbers, the last seven games, he's has an average of 250, but and an OPS over 800. So yeah, for him to be struggling, and that's what it looks like, I think it's just he's come up in some big spots and had some big strikeouts, and it appears that he's struggling. He does have 10 strikeouts in his last 28 at bats, so that's probably what I'm thinking about. That's a much higher strikeout rate than he's had so far this season, with the strikeout rate around 18.4% with 10 strikeouts and 28 at bats. You're way over that, so that may be what I think from him. He's had at least one hit in the last three games. So he's still producing, hasn't at least one RBI in those games. But like I said, he's just been striking out a little bit more. Not sure if that's a concern or not, but just something I had noticed. And like I said, he's still been productive. We saw him drive in Trey Turner. We've seen him, you know, have the big home run on last night into the second deck. So it's just a matter of who Max Muncy is. He, even when he's quiet, he's not that quiet and still producing. So it's a good sign for the Dodgers. And, you know, the rest of the offense, Corey Seager was a guy who had been struggling. And, again, not to say this was him turning the corner, not to say this is a breakout game, but a game that could potentially get him on track. He had three hits, was a triple short of the cycle, and, you know, hopefully gets him going. I mean, you look at his numbers, too. Last seven games, hitting .321. With an OPS over 800 again, or maybe even over 900. But he just hasn't, I don't know, hasn't quite looked the part for me. And but obviously the numbers stand out a little bit. But if he's a guy, who the Dodgers can get going, kind of what I talked about on yesterday's show with, you know, the uncertainty in the rotation right now, with Clayton Kershaw out till September, with Danny Duffy out until the middle of September, with Tony Gonsolin barely started throwing and might take him another 2-3 weeks to get ramped up again, with Cole Hamels needing at least another probably 3 weeks to get ramped up. The Dodgers will need the offense to shine, and it appears that they can do that with everyone I just mentioned, with Pollock, with Bellinger heating up, with Seager turning things around, with Taylor already being one of the more consistent players, with Max Muncy doing what he does, and then Trey Turner. Once again, talk about Trey Turner. I know I talked about him a lot the last couple episodes, but just that speed is just game-changing, as they say. And you hear the word game-changing, and you think, you know, okay, he's fast. But we've seen it now just in the short time he's been here where he's, you know, been that guy to score from first on a double, score from first on an infield single that squirted it into the outfield. Obviously, he was running on the pitch, but, you know, he still ended up scoring. He scored on a ball hit to right field last night that Joe Davis mentioned. Not a lot of guys are going to score on that. He scored with relative ease and then had one of the smoothest slides, stand-up, pop-up slides you'll ever see, and was very casual about it. He said that's how he always slides. That's how he likes to slide. He doesn't like to touch the ground too much. So this guy runs fast and is very smooth with the slides and just looks like he's floating on air when he's out there. And honestly, I didn't talk about this a lot yesterday, but you look at his overall numbers on the season, he's hitting .322 with an .889 OPS, 18 home runs, 49 RBIs, 22 stolen bases, 129 hits, and 401 at-bats. He's having an MVP caliber season, and if he can keep up and lead the Dodgers hopefully to the division win, or at least, you know, keep them playing very well and continuing on that, the NL MVP race is pretty wide open. Fernando Tatis is the betting favorite, but who knows when he's going to come back. And even when he does come back, who knows if he'll be able to finish out the season. And, you know, his numbers are good, but they're not that good to the point where he's a runaway favorite. You know, Bryce Harper's name has crossed a lot of lists recently. Max Muncy's name earlier in the season was crossing a lot of lists lately. But Trey Turner can be a guy who, he can come up, like I said, lead the Dodgers to a division win or just continue on this pace that he's been on. Could be one of those where he wins an MVP and, you know, maybe the Dodgers want to pay him after that. So we'll see what happens. But I just love watching Trey Turner on the base pass. And hopefully we'll continue to keep doing that because he keeps getting on base and keeps showing us why speed is such an important part of baseball. And why when you have it, it's a luxury. When you don't have it, you didn't know you needed it until you have it. So that's how I feel about Trey Turner and his speed. All right, going to come back and just finish up with some more Dodger talk. Fill in the blanks on everything else that I missed. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Built Bar. You've heard a lot about Built Bar. Did you know that they're the best tasting protein bars? You probably did if you listen to this podcast. Did you know that they're healthy? You probably did if you listen to this podcast. But guess what? We're going to keep talking about it and keep telling you until everyone that listens to this podcast has tried Built Bar. Built Bar is full of deliciousness. It is all covered in chocolate, and they have a bunch of different flavors for you to try out. They're always trying new flavors and adding new flavors. And if you can't pick one flavor, you don't know what your favorite flavor is, or you just want to try all the flavors, you can always get a mixed box when you order. Well, you'll get two of each of the 9 flavors that are currently in production. And like I said, they are not only taste great, but they are healthy. 17 to 18 grams of protein for each bar, under 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams sugar, 4 to 5 grams net carbs. Everything you need, any diet you're on, Built Bar will fit into it. And they're even the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is pretty dope. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Had you listened to me yesterday, you would have won some money. I told you to take the under 8.5, and that is what happened. The Dodgers scored 5 runs. The Phillies scored 0, like I said, even though it wasn't Scherzer that shut them down the whole time. I didn't think they were going to score that much. But I don't have a lock for you tonight or a bet to make, but I will tell you that all the action is at BetOnline. All the odds, info, and news, not just MLB, but all the other sports going on. UFC, MMA is always happening. The football's coming up. College football's coming up. Make sure to make an account before that happens so you can make Saturdays and Sundays more fun in the fall. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline and check out everything they have. They got sign-up bonuses, contests, and all that good stuff. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for the runs to the playoffs. Right now, head to BetOnline and sign up and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. So head to BetOnline, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and get a welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, final segment. Let's just take a look what happened in the NL West. The Giants won on a walk-off by Chris Bryant. Walk-off air, I guess. Christian Walker, I think that's his name, from the D-backs. Not great defensively in the bottom of the ninth, and it ended up costing the D-backs. The D-backs were down 5-0 early on, or 6-0, whatever. They came back and tied it against Alex Wood. Down 7-5 going into the ninth. Came back and tied it against Jake McGee. But then proceeded to be the D-backs and blew it in the ninth inning and lost. So the Dodgers, once again, did not gain ground on the Giants. They haven't gained ground on them since July 28th when they beat them in San Francisco. So annoying on that end, but we kind of knew how this week was going to go. I talked about it on yesterday's show, how because of the schedule, the way it goes, the Dodgers were going to an East Coast trip against two teams that are still playing for something, and the Giants get to play two teams that aren't playing for something. But at this point, all the Dodgers can do is win and hope that other teams can help them out. So they did what they had to do. Unfortunately, the D-backs weren't able to help them out. But hey, as long as they keep winning, they will have a good chance at trying to make up some ground in the division. On the team behind the Dodgers, the Padres, they won 6-5 against the Marlins at home. So the NOS, all three top teams won, and everyone kind of stayed pat. So, yeah, like I said, not much the Dodgers can do, just win. We looked at the schedules yesterday. The Dodgers' schedule, while it's a little tough right now, will ease up a little bit, and then they just have to take advantage. And I think the big thing, again, is that the Giants and Padres play each other, I believe, 10 more times before the season ends. So if they can split those games, that helps the Dodgers out a lot, because if they can win, you know, 7 or 8 in that span or whatever the case may be, go 7-3 in those 10 games, then the Dodgers will be looking pretty decent. But like I said, all they can do is win. But moving on to the matchup tonight, David Price and the Dodgers against the Phillies and Kyle Gibson. David Price, I mentioned earlier, has gone into the sixth inning in 2 of his last 4 appearances. He had the one clunker in San Francisco where he didn't get out of the fifth and gave up the 3 runs and had the 3 walks. But, you know, since July started, he threw 2 innings to start the month. But then after that, he's gone 3 innings, 4 innings, 5 2/3, and then 4 1/3. Closed out or pitched 1 inning in relief in the Arizona game on Sunday the first, and then went 5 1/3 his last start. He's The most pitches he's pitched so far this season is 74, so you would imagine he can at least go 75, 80. And tomorrow's or tonight's one of those starts where the Dodgers need him to go the full 75, 80 and be very efficient with it, get into that sixth inning once again, if possible, maybe even get through that sixth inning. Like I said, the Dodgers used a lot of arms. Some guys not as much as others. You know, Phil Bickford, Kenley Jansen weren't used. And Brooke Gradwell was only used for one batter, and they can still get away with some other stuff. But knowing that the bullpen game is coming Thursday, they will, you know, gladly welcome some length out of David Price. And looking at David Price against guys on the Phillies, he hasn't faced any of them too much. He's faced Didi Gregorius a fair amount of times, and Gregorius actually owns a pretty good numbers against him, hitting 378 with a 951 OPS. And then he's faced Brad Miller a lot. And has actually done very well against Brad Miller. Other than that, no, everyone else is 11 at-bats or less, so nothing too crazy there. In terms of the Dodgers facing Kyle Gibson, the Dodgers have not faced him in 2021 since he became an all-star pitcher. And they faced him before in the past, but other than Mookie Betts and Albert Pujols, nobody's faced him more than a handful of times. So there's not really much to look forward there. In his two games since joining the Phillies, he's gone into the or 6 2/3, 2 runs against the Pirates, 6 innings, 1 run against the Mets. Like I said, not teams that you're particularly scared of, at least offensively. So hopefully the Dodgers can get to him. Because before that, after the All-Star break, he came back and gave up 8 runs to the Tigers, and then gave up 2 runs in 6 innings to the Astros. And then even before that, he had given up 5 runs to the Tigers. So the Dodgers need to channel their inner Tigers in order to get to Kyle Gibson. But, yeah, that's really the matchup for tonight. We'll see what happens. Like I said, with Mookie Betts, he'll probably go on the injured list. Dodgers are probably going to call someone up, whether it's Rex, Rayleigh, or maybe Yoshi Suzuki. I don't think so, but I don't know. I just want to throw that name out there in case I get it right. And then on the Dodgers side, you know, Max Muncy's out. I would imagine Chris Taylor's going to play third base again, and they'll run basically the same lineup out there. It doesn't look like it's supposed to rain in Philadelphia the rest of the next two days, so Dodgers should be in the clear there. It is supposed to be pretty hot, 96 and 98, with, I'm assuming, a lot of humidity. So not fun to play in, but at least there's no rain to delay them. Just one final point I want to make before we get out of here for this episode is that if you're a team on the East Coast or somewhere where it rains, why don't you have a stadium with at least a retractable roof? It's not that hard. Obviously, some have been built before, or maybe, you know, you can't add a retractable roof now. But moving forward, any new stadiums built on the East Coast or even the Midwest or even in Texas, put a roof or retractable roof on your stadium. Having rain delays and having rain outs and stuff like that, it's 2021. We shouldn't be having that. We have the technology to take advantage of it. We have a lot of stadiums being built with the capabilities of having a retractable roof. More retractable roofs on the East Coast. The Dodgers haven't had a rain out in forever. I know we need the rain in terms of Los Angeles, but there is no rain outs going to happen here. And honestly, if they should just punish these teams and make them play more games at Dodger Stadium, because Dodger Stadium, obviously, better stadium than a lot of these other stadiums, more fun stadium, and there's no rain to ruin the fun. You know, Max Scherzer and Aaron Nola were on the way to a pitcher's duel. Even if it hadn't gone completely the Dodgers' favor, I feel like they would have won the game anyways, but it would have been fun to continue watching those two guys go toe-to-toe, and then we were robbed of it because of rain and because stadiums built without retractable roofs. So get more retractable roofs. No new stadiums on the other side of the Midwest should have no roof. So yeah, that's just how I feel about that. It wasn't too much here in this final segment. Realize how tough it is to be solo. I had a lot of topics to talk about the last 2 days, not as many topics to talk about today, but hey, regardless, made it through. Thank you all for listening. That'll do it for today's episode. Make sure to follow, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to tell your friends about Locked On Dodgers, coworkers, family members, whoever else. Make sure to let everyone know. If you're not listening every single day, try to add at least one extra episode every week to help us out. And Follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts. You can always send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or a voicemail. Leave us a voicemail. Send us a text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart. Oh, heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bonzo!